All right, tonight, if you would, turn your Bibles into the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4 to begin with. And then if you want to turn over to the little epistle of 2 John, we'll be reading in that. So the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and then 2 John. I'm going to be dealing with the subject of truth. And the importance of truth, the necessity of having truth in our minds, in our daily activity, to know what truth is. And of course, we know that all truth comes from God. All truth is given to us in the Word of God. Anything that goes against the Scripture is not true. And so tonight we're going to be dealing with how important truth is. We're living in an age and a world where truth has been sort of set aside in order to have unity or to have fellowship or to have coming together and not disagreeing on anything. And that sounds good, but it's just not biblical. We never set aside truth in order for unity or to be able to just to get along with someone, because truth is the dividing factor that puts our puts us in a standing with certain people in certain ways, and of course the Word of God giving us all truth. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11, the Bible says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." The scripture here says there that we are to speak the truth, but to speak the truth in love. And then, of course, that brings about the unity that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. In these verses, he tells us that he's given the church apostles, he's given them prophets, given evangelists and pastors and teachers. The Lord has given that to the house of God. And he tells us why in the next verse. It's for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, that we are to grow into a full-grown adult, spiritually speaking, and for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. And it's always connected with the truth that we have in the Scripture and the truth that we preach from the Word of God. And it tells us here, till we all come into the unity of the faith. So the Scripture tells us here that truth and attitude or the right heart will bring us into a place of unity in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn over to 2 John. The epistle only has 13 verses, and I want us to look at we'll read at verse number 7, and read verse 7 and verse 8. "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." So John tells us, Paul tells us we're to speak the truth, and John tells us we're to keep the truth. And so tonight I want us to for a few moments deal with the importance or the necessity of walking in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a world tonight that is so distanced themselves from godliness and godly things, there was a time in this country that even people that were not Christians, at least they give an attitude of accepting that there was a God and there was a Lord. And even though they rejected Him as their Savior, they still honored Him, and they still had the idea that He was over them. But it's not so in this world, in this day in which we live. We have a generation that has grown up without God. We are teaching a generation that there is no God. We are putting upon a new generation the idea that man can take care of everything himself. And if man can't do it, then it's foolish to think that anybody else could do that for them. And really, the reality of God is almost mocked in many places in our world and also in our country. So tonight I want us to take just a few minutes and show the necessity of walking and speaking the truth that we have, that we know, even though the light is rejected, even though it seems the darkness is overtaking the light. We know that we are to be and are commanded to be faithful to the Lord and stand true to the things of God. In verse number 7, this in our reading here in 2 John, it starts out with the word for, and that refers back to what has just been spoken. For tells us to go back and read verse number 6 maybe, and have that understanding. It says, "And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning, and you walk in it. For there are many deceivers." There are those that would deceive us of how that we are to walk and to serve and to even have relationship with the God of heaven. We tonight believe in the verbal inspiration of God's Word. That just simply means God gave the Word. God moved upon men of God, and they wrote down what God inspired them to write. We do not believe in a dictation type of inspiration. I'm very, very close to that. I believe as God spoke to them, they wrote that. But a verbal inspiration means that God speaks and God lets them use their personality, and it comes through the writings of the Scripture. You can read Paul's writings, and you can just know that Paul did that because all of his writings are very similar. You can read John's writings, as we have tonight in 2 John. You can read the Gospel. He talks about the love of God. You can read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, talking about the love of God. You can read the Revelation, talking about the wrath of God. And you can put a recognition that the same writer, the same human instrument was used to write down what God had given him. And so we believe in the term that is called verbal inspiration. And that just simply makes it that every word that God gave to the writers, every word of that was true. Every word of that was His word. We do not believe that we have a Scripture tonight that contains God's Word. We believe we have a Scripture that is God's Word. And there's a big difference in containing and is. We find that we don't just have a few words here and we can pick and choose what we think would be the Word of the Lord, but you can begin in Genesis chapter 1 and read to the last amen in the book of the Revelation, and every word that we read, I believe, has been inspired of God, been preserved of God, and so therefore we have the truth. We have it in our hands. We have it in our laps. We have it in our homes, and so therefore we don't pick and choose what we think applies to us. We don't look at a verse and say, well, that really doesn't matter to me, so it's not the Word of God to me right now. It might be later on, but not now. I don't need that. But we read the Scripture, we read the Bible, believing and knowing that it is the Word of God. And every word is good for us. Every word is true. It's right, and in every aspect it is necessary. And so this discounts all the new things that are coming out, because they certainly change words and they leave total verses out and total scriptures out. But tonight we have before us, I believe, the preserved Word of God. And so therefore, we can walk in truth. Therefore, we can know the truth. And John tells us in his writings that Jesus made the statement that the truth shall make you free. And when we're free indeed because of truth, because of his Word. So John expresses the importance of the truth and the love of God that is associated with that. I believe today what is mostly classified as Christian love is really a false view of love. Christian love today is one that just opens its arms and takes everything, and it doesn't matter how you feel, doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter what you say, doesn't matter how you live, just as long as you love the Lord, that makes it all okay. Well, I believe that's a distorted view of what God tells us that true love is. And so therefore that makes it a false love. We are what the world calls separatist. They call us judgmental. They call us unloving. They call us Pharisees and all the words that go along with that, because we do not go to their position and accept everything that they say. And so we find that today's deceivers are people that divide upon this subject of unity. Here John says, there are many deceivers, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. He's against the teachings and the the workings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, doctrine is a dividing factor. What we believe will divide us apart from other people. Just because you call yourself a certain denomination doesn't mean that we are in all agreement. Because of different doctrines, we are divided from that. There are many people that call themselves Baptists that I'm divided against because some of their doctrine does not live up to the standards of God's Word. So many times we're ridiculed because we will accept doctrine over unity and not accept the attitude that love will unify. And so tonight, these different people that have crept in, Paul says they many times creep in unaware. They are not openly telling you at the very first, and all of a sudden they hit you with what they have, and we find that they are deceivers. And even where we read there in Ephesians a while ago, talks about those that would deceive or those that would tear down. And so there are those that have come in, they've entered in, and they do not follow the direction that God gives them. And so they have come and they've denied what John is writing about is a group of people that denied that the Lord had even come. And so he uses that as that illustration that Christ has not come in the flesh. He says this is a deceiver. Well, there are many other deceivers that have come along down through history, and we could point out a lot of things tonight, but I want us to deal mostly with the speaking in love, walking in truth, and dealing with the world in which we live. It is true tonight that we are to love sinners. I don't think anybody would disagree with that statement. We are to love those that are outside the fold of God, outside the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's also true that we do not condone, we do not enjoy or follow after many of their lifestyles. And so that love that would bring us to them and to give them truth, sometimes the truth will divide us from them because of their disbelief. But true biblical love is consistent with the commandments of the Word of God. True biblical love and truth is always in is in connection with God's Word and the commandments that God has given us. And I almost don't use the commandments because we immediately go to our minds in the Ten Commandments. But there's many more things and many more commands than just ten. And God gives us His Word tonight that we are to abide in and to follow. So true love is a love that will stand true to the calling of God and the truth of His Word. Love is not found in accepting the attitude of everybody else. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 12, it says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth." Other place tells us that He, those whom He loves, He chastens. But in Proverbs, it says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth." If God loves me, He's going to correct me in my life. He's going to help me with my struggles in the Word of God concerning truth. He's going to help me with certain areas of difficulty that I have, maybe understanding what is meant or what is being taught in the Word of God. He does that through the wooing and the care of the Holy Spirit in our life. And so those whom the Lord loves, He will correct. And then it says, "Even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth." I believe the Lord delights in His children. I believe the Lord looks upon us. I believe He smiles upon us. He enjoys our fellowship. And when He sees us going astray and finding areas of our life that's not as should be, then He begins to deal with us and helps us, and He corrects us. And that is a demonstration of real, true fatherly love. And here Solomon says that the Lord will correct us, and then he brings down an earthly illustration as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. And so as a father will correct his son or his daughter, his children, so does God correct his children because he loves us. We tell our children not to do certain things because we know if they do that, it will harm them and hurt them. We do that because we love them. God warns us in His Word not to do certain things because not to keep from us, but to in order to help us to have a relationship with Him that is true and right and enjoyable in the things of the Lord. So true love is found in correction. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 23, says, "Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment." If we don't judge everything correctly and judge it right, then we find that we will lose some of those things that God has for us. And so I want us to look tonight, and not be a long drawn out thing, but four or five different things that I believe are necessary or imperative that we walk in truth, that we stand for the message of God's Word, even though we stand sometimes alone, even though we stand in the minority, even though we stand as a softer voice or a more silent voice than the crowd around us, we are to still stand for that which is true and that which is right according to God's Word. It is imperative, first of all, and we've mentioned a little bit about that just a moment ago, it's important and necessary that we have God's Word. It's very important that we know what we believe. It's very important that we can stand upon the principles and the precepts and the judgments and the very words of the Lord. It's important that we know this book that we have is real. If the world can shake us upon our foundation of God's Word, then it can shake us from our foundation of the Lord. If it can destroy our thought, and I'll tell you, there's a lot of things out there that try to destroy the feeling that we and the knowledge that we have concerning God's Word. It sounds very good, some of the things that are given to us and some of the things that are taught. But if they destroy that, then our foundation is gone. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4, Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, But the next phrase there says, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Bread is for the physical health. Bread keeps us alive. It's talking about food, nourishment. And the Lord says here, we don't live by just physical nourishment. As the people of God, we must have spiritual nourishment, and that proceeds from the Lord. And this book that we have tonight is the spiritual nourishment that God has given unto us. It's food for the soul. It's life unto those that are dying. And so tonight it's imperative that we know we have God's Word. It's necessary that we believe what we are reading is really, really true and is the Word of the Lord. I don't think I have to labor that point very much. I think we believe that. I know we believe that. We stand upon God's Word. But the world tonight needs to understand that where we are and what we believe is truth. Everything is judged by truth. Everything is judged by righteousness. And so tonight, it's imperative that we have God's Word in our hand. David tells us that we're to hide it into our heart, that we might not sin against Him. And we must realize that the Word that we have and the nourishment that we have from the Lord is from every word that has proceeded out of the mouth of God. Now, I do not know how that the Lord spoke to the different writers of the Scripture. I don't know if He verbally spoke to them. I think He did some of them. I don't know if He gave them thoughts and their hand wrote down the Word of God that He had given them using their personality. But I do know that the Old Testament says the Word of the Lord came unto, and then it uses that particular prophet's name. The Word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, the Word of the Lord came unto Isaiah. And over again, the Scripture tells us that it is the Word of the Lord. It's the Word of Jehovah. It has proceeded out of His mouth. Now, Moses was privileged of God to go to a mountain and hear God and see God put the tables of stone there and put those commandments upon that. He had to go back and do it himself because he broke the tables, and but he has the Word of God. Tonight, if I could take this Bible that's been published by some company, I'm not even sure what company put out the Bible that I use, but there's different companies. I can take those published Bibles, and if I copy them word for word, then I've still got the Word of God. It doesn't matter if the Bible costs $150, and there are some that do. It doesn't matter if they cost $90, or you can go to the dollar store and buy one for $1.50. It doesn't matter the price on the outside, but my, what a treasure you have on the inside. What a blessing it is to know that we have the Word of God. And it's necessary if we're going to have truth, if we're going to walk in truth, we must believe, we must know that what we're holding in our hand is the Word of God that has proceeded out of His mouth, inspired the writer. They wrote it down, and now He's preserved it to us in our language and hundreds of other languages around the world that have a written copy of God's Word. In some of these third world countries that do not have availability of the Word of God, you can see and can hear about and read about missionaries going into those places and handing out the Word of God, and they'll take the Scripture and they'll hold it to their chest and they'll kiss it, and they understand what they're holding. They realize it's something that's very, very precious. Even though it's just words on a page, it is a living Word because it is God's Word. It never grows old. It never goes out of date. It never gets out of shape. It never goes wrong. And so, therefore, what we have, we call the Word of God. And so tonight, if we're going to walk in truth, if we're going to walk in the love of God's truth and the truth of His love, then we have the starting point, and that starting point is, in the beginning, God created. And so that's the first thing. Number two, it's not enough just to have the Word of God, but it's necessary that we believe the Word of God. That we don't just give lip service to it, but that we really believe what God says. How many times people have asked us and have asked me, do you really believe that story that's in the Bible? Do you really believe that there was a man, Adam and Eve, and God formed Adam out of the dust? Do you really believe that? And they say it almost in astonishment and questioning your mentality if you do believe that. And they're in their question, just like Satan said to Eve, hath God said? And we must believe what God has given to us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And then the next portion of that verse says, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Here we find that a wrath comes. Wrath will be revealed from God, from the heavens, and it's against ungodliness and unrighteousness. And they're ungodly and they're unrighteous because there are those that would hold righteous word in unrighteousness and doubting and not following God's word. In this verse, the truth that is being held is unrighteousness according to the truth of the creation of God. The world sees the magnificent, perfect world in which we live, and they won't try to take credit for it. I was listening a while ago, I think it was on Fox. They was interviewing a man that's written a book and says, just ask the astronaut. And, of course, I think tomorrow, maybe it's tomorrow, they send a spaceship out into toward Mars. It's supposed to land tomorrow. And it's going to be a big hoopla over that. And they're doing that because they want to know how that the earth came into existence. When all they got to read is, in the beginning God created. Holding truth, but yet hearing truth and having unrighteousness in their heart. Some people say that all these things just are the result of a random act of what they call evolution. As I listened to him this afternoon, he used the word evolution 4 or 5 times just in a short segment. Talked about the evolution of our earth and how it is continually processing and getting better. I don't know what earth he's talking about because the one I see is not getting better. The one I see is getting worse. It's going downhill, not up. And he said, when we get to Mars, he says, then we will see the evolutionary process there and how far it is behind us, and maybe we can calculate when there will be life on Mars. He said, I believe in the next generation we'll be able to find life. Well, the fellow that's interviewing said, what do you think? Do you believe in Martians then? He said, oh no, so I'm talking about these little amoebas, those little bitty unseen cells that will finally evolve into man like we have. I thought to myself, spending all that money, and he's probably a brilliant man. He was an astronaut, so he's very well trained. But when it comes to righteousness, he has no righteousness. And the scripture says here that those folks, they hold the truth in unrighteousness. They hear it, they reject it, and therefore will not have it. When we look upon the creation, everywhere I look, I see the fingerprint of God. Everywhere you look, I was up early this morning, come down here and unlocked everything. The sun was coming up, and there had been some jet planes going across the sky, and the sun was coming up, and those rays and those behind the jet was just almost sparkling. And the sun was behind them, and you see it, and it illuminated the sky even all the way across, even though it was not as daylight as it was going to be. And everywhere you look, you see the beauty of God. You see the handiwork of God. You see the creation of the Lord. And one of these days, this world that has rejected Him, they will be judged by the handiwork of God. They'll be judged because they have seen that and they have rejected that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 13 reads, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." Well, there's a lot of folks already believing a lie. A lot of folks already having delusion upon them. And they're going to believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And Paul says, "Now we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Only way a person is going to go to heaven is to believe the truth. And it's so necessary for us to walk and to believe the truth of God's Word. As Paul writes to these Thessalonian Christians, he talks about those that would receive, that does not receive the truth. They don't receive the things of God that they might be saved, but they are holding it. The truth of God in unrighteousness, as is told us. And they do that they might be damned. And the Bible says here, who believe not the truth. You see, the most important part of that verse is the word truth. If you do not believe the truth, you're damned. If you believe the truth, you're saved. The belief of the truth brings about salvation. Paul says, he is saying here that he's thanking the Lord for those to whom he was writing. Those brethren that were beloved of the Lord, that because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. God has chosen you to a point of believing and having salvation in your life. And the only way you have it is sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Nobody is ever going to go to heaven that does not believe the truth of God's Word about salvation. Jesus is the way, He's the truth, and He's the life. So we must have the Word of God. Secondly, we must believe the truth or believe the Word of God. Thirdly, that would help us and help everyone immensely, is that we understand God's Word. It's not enough to have it. It's not enough just to believe it. And I can say, I believe we all do, that we believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Do I understand it all? No. No, 1,000 times no. But what a wonderful thing it is when God comes into your life and through your study or through your meditation or maybe somebody preaching, God reveals to you some things that are truth and we understand. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8, it says, "So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to what? Understand." Here, Nehemiah says, we read the Word of God, we read it distinctly, and we caused them to understand the reading. What a wonderful thing it is. And I know I have sat in services where somebody else was preaching, and they'd be reading a scripture, and all of a sudden, the light would go on about something that I had questioned about. And from that point on, I probably don't hear too much more what the preacher says because I'm beginning to think about what God's revealed to me. And so we find that it's necessary that we have some understanding of God's Word, that we not only have it and believe it, but we understand enough that we can explain it to someone else, that we can give it to them. And so here we ought to pray that God would cause us to understand. Many times the problem is not understanding the Bible, just acceptance that it is true and it is the Word of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Paul told these Colossian Christians, he said, "From the very beginning, I have prayed that you'd be filled with the knowledge of His will." You know what that is? Understanding. just to have the understanding and the knowledge that God has for us. He says in verse number 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and unto all pleasing, being faithful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the glorious power, and all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Paul's prayer for those of Colossae, that they would have understanding, that they would have the long-suffering and the joyfulness and the understand the glorious power of God and be strengthened in the Lord and to be increased in the knowledge of God. I believe every Christian ought to know more this year than they did last year about God. That they ought to know more about the things of the Lord and have more of an understanding than what they did 10 years ago. We're to be growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. So it's imperative that we have the Word of God. It's imperative that we believe the Word of God. It's imperative that we understand the Word of God. And then lastly, it's imperative, it's necessary that we walk in the Word of God according to His will. It all comes down to my response to what I read. It all comes down to what am I going to do with what God has revealed to me. 2 John, verse number 6 says, "And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. As you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." Not enough to hear, but now John says we are to walk. The Bible says here in verse 6 is, "And this is love." If you read these 13 verses tonight of 2 John, you'll find that John is dealing with truth and he's dealing with love and how they are inseparable to our lives. In Scofield Bible, he has part number one, part number two. And he's got it divided out. The first part is truth and love are inseparable in the life of the child of God. If we have love, we'll have truth. If we have truth, we'll have love. And that's a part of the Christian life. In verse number 7, where we began our reading tonight, he has a second part. It says doctrine is the final test that we have. Final test of reality. What we believe, if we have the message, we accept the message, if we understand the message, what are we going to do with the message? What are we going to, how are we going to deal with it? So God's commandments concerning our behavior and our fellowship have never changed. It's from the beginning. Thank God tonight what we have is an old understanding from God that He loves His people. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "That which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." John could say that from a first-hand experience. We have heard Him. We have, from the very beginning, we've seen with our eyes, we've looked upon Him, our hands have handled. He is the word of life. Verse number 5 says, "Then this is the message which we have from Him, declaring to you that God is light, and in Him no darkness is at all. And if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath." Romans chapter 2. There are two groups, those that believe, accept it, walk in it, and those that do not believe and reject it, and one day will be judged by that. You can hear the truth, you can know the truth, you can understand the truth, but failure to walk in the truth is a great problem with the believer, for he tells us that we are to walk in truth. The reality and the message and the necessity of God's Word. Foundation is that we have it. But in reality, we are to put it to practice in our personal life because we know truth. We know Him. And we know what He has given to us. We accept it. We believe it. So therefore, we are to handle the Word of God properly and proclaim it and to do the things that that are given to us in the Scripture, that one day we'll stand before Him and He'll say, "Well done, thou good, faithful servant." Only way we can get a well done is to be a good, faithful servant of the Lord, to follow the truth of God's Word, stand in it, live in it, proclaim it, and if need be, even die because of it. And many, many have done that down through the centuries. So may we understand tonight, it's important to know truth. Nothing wrong with unity, but unity that is based upon falsehood will fall apart. Unity that is based upon everything going, everybody doing that which is right in their own eyes, somewhere that unity will disintegrate. But unity that is based upon the love of God and the truth of God's Word will stand the test of time, and it'll carry us into eternity forever and forever. Let's stand together tonight. And